Hello, this is Guillermina González, director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And with me, we have Zachary Homanik. He is the executive producer of the Travel Songs Project. This is a follow-up of a beautiful conversation we began with you guys before your travel. But let me welcome you to the program, Zachary. Thanks so much for having the time.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
I know it's... you're so busy coordinating many different things after the travel that it's not easy. So I really appreciate your making a stop on your agenda and coming here and
Absolutely. And
helping us in bringing some kind of knowledge, music in connection to anthropology, in connection to technologically savvy campaigns. So it's a combo of a beautiful. So I'm gonna stop talking and letting you tell us what the Travel Songs Project is all about. How about that?
Okay, great. Well, the Travel Songs Project is the idea behind the Travel Songs Project is to use music as a universal language in order to bridge the gaps between cultures. Okay. And I find that oftentimes some of the problems we have in our society today is probably due to ignorance or just lack of understanding between people that are just different from each other. So by using music as a common ground, I think that there's an easy way for us to open a dialogue between people that are different and try to resolve some of these problems.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the overall theme of what we do. But actually what we do, how we apply it, is we go mm-hmm. to different countries throughout the world and we spend about 2 weeks to a month there traveling through the country. We do HD video documentation of the whole trip. And while we're there, we're meeting with musicians, different cultural icons, people that are making instruments, people that are just into listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
We attend different performances and festivals, and also my team, we're also musicians, so mm-hmm. we perform with them as well. And it's a whole, it's a fun trip, but it's also very educational because we get to learn a lot while we're there.
And I remember one of our first conversations, you sharing the fact that this is just beyond music. It's putting music in context and, mm-hmm. and bringing the anthropological aspect of music and how that makes sense to people locally and how you interconnect with those concepts. Would you like to speak to that?
Absolutely. It's interesting. Music really is one of those few things that we find universally, eating, sleeping, music, throughout many different cultures, we have music in different forms. And it is cool to see how different people have a relationship with music. For mm-hmm. example, we just came back from Peru and we met with an indigenous group called the Caros. They live in the highlands of Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a relationship with music, whereas they only used music to incite the spirits before they asked them for something. So it was almost like giving a present to the spirits of the mountain
mm-hmm.
and then asking them for a favor. Oh, my uncle is sick, or, we need to have a good harvest this year. And then just 2 days after that, we were in the urban center in Cusco, and mm-hmm. we were speaking with hip hop artists and rappers who were saying, Biggie Smalls is my biggest influence, or Tupac Shakur is my biggest influence. And these are rappers from the 90s in the United mm-hmm. States. So just to see such a wide spectrum of people appreciating music and having a relationship with music, it's just super interesting to me.
So it's bringing not only music, but anthropology together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you begin conceptualizing this idea of the Travel Songs Project? Because it sounds like new, but indeed has some thinking behind.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to share how that came to you and your team?
Absolutely. I had been studying anthropology at the University of Delaware, and I graduated in 2008. So that mm-hmm. was kind of my academic background. And I always found it interesting, but I never knew exactly how to apply it. I think that's a lot of problems that people have when they're leaving school and they don't know how to apply whatever
reality
they learned.
Reality is a different thing. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
So I was looking into different options. And then in looking into different options, I said, well, I'd like to kind of live abroad for a little while. So starting after I graduated, I just started traveling, and I first went to South America and I did a tour through the continent there. And then after that, I ended up going to North Africa. And by the time I got there to Tunisia, it was right around 2010, 2011, when the revolutions were happening, what they mm-hmm. referred to as the Arab Spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to get a job working as a photojournalist at mm-hmm. a local news agency. It was an English language news agency that were serving as a fixer for bigger organizations, BBC, Al Jazeera, CNN, what have you. And through my time working with my camera and doing these pictures of, you know, the protests and different cultural items throughout Tunisia, I started to think about how fun it is to do pictures and videos and stuff like that. And I started thinking, well, you know, I really also enjoy music and I wonder if I can combine these two things. So that's when I started, was about 2 years ago in Tunisia, when I said, you know, I'm going to start recording musicians and recording music in Tunisia. And it's a fun way to share it with my family back home. And that was about the extent of what I planned for it then.
Mm-hmm. So you were not necessarily thinking about the project beyond enjoying yourself?
At that time, no. I was just trying to be creative and, you know, use my time productively and efficiently. Exactly. I didn't want to just sit around. So flash to a couple years later, I was in Thailand doing a similar thing. And I came back home and I said, you know, okay, I'm back in the States. I'm almost 30 years old. I kind of need to figure out what's going on with my life. What's my passion and how am I going to pursue this?
Right.
So I was just thinking one day and I said, well, I think there is something behind, you know, going to different countries and filming the people and filming the music. And I think not only do I get something out of that, which was originally what was happening, but I think other people can get stuff out of that too. And that's when it sort of clicked and I said, oh yeah, I think maybe we should start to put this onto a large scale production and see if we can't take a few different cameramen down there and a producer and see if we can't actually make a full length documentary about what is going on in other countries in regards to music. So what we did is I organized my team and we got together and we made a plan and then we did a Kickstarter, which is a crowdsourcing website. And we garnered our funds through that. And after about 6 months of planning and Skype sessions and talking with people in Peru and here and a lot of planning, we ended up going to Peru in July and we were there for 2 weeks in July. And that's when we really enacted the first full stage production of what the Travel Songs project is. We just returned about a month ago and we've been looking at the footage and editing the footage and reviewing the footage. It's phenomenal. I think people are going to be really, really happy to see, you know, what it's like there and excited to see a new place. And I think also, you know, I take a sense of pride in knowing that I'm able to share with people that might not be able to go there or maybe educate people that didn't know much about Peru beforehand. It's a fascinating thing.
And taking a look to just briefly what you shared a few days ago, it gives you the flavor of the country. You at one point mentioned the fact that it looks, might feel like the Anthony Bourdain example, a beautiful program, by the way, but with the musical twist.
Absolutely.
And that makes people connect probably easier, if you will, because who says no to music? I mean, there's nobody that I can think of at this point that is going to say, I hate music.
Yeah, I agree. That's, you know, that's one of the fundamental parts of our project is that, you know, from throughout time, throughout cultures, music is played a big role in our society. So it's very universal.
And the other thing that got my attention is your age and the planning process and how technology plays a role in this kind of, I would say, advocacy, arts advocacy work, if you
Absolutely.
Will. So tell me about your generation in embracing these concepts and how those concepts are being translated into campaigns that go beyond the face-to-face conversations.
You know, it's interesting because I was just thinking this thought the other day and I didn't realize you were going to ask me about it. But it's,
me neither.
It's,
I just came to me right now.
it's an interesting concept. And I was sitting having a coffee with a friend of mine who just started a multimedia firm. And then one of my producers that I work with on the project has his own company. And I'm seeing as I'm getting older that a lot of my friends and a lot of my peers are kind of branching out into this multimedia world or at least trying to claim their stake on it. And I said to myself, well, why is this happening? And then I started thinking about what originally people in my generation were referring to as a problem, where they're getting out of college and they're unable to find a job and it's difficult for them to find, you know, that easy transition. And it puts us in a situation where maybe for the first year or two, we say, oh, this is really tough. Life is tough, you know. But it forces us to be creative and it forces us to find a different way around this problem of trying to figure out what we're going to make as our life's work. So I think that for my generation, technology is a big advantage. And growing up, you know, seeing the internet created in my lifetime and then becoming to be able to use that is a helping tool for that. But it is interesting because this economic situation that we're in, mm-hmm. it forces people in my generation to really try extra hard and be creative,
finding different ways of making an impact, if you will.
Absolutely, and I think it's a blessing in disguise, because I think when we look down the line and we look back at this, we'll see that there's a lot of innovation coming out from this time period that's brought about from this difficult economic situation.
Well said. And before we go further in this very interesting conversation, let me re-engage with the audience to let them know that you're listening to Delaware's News Radio 1450 WILM and Delaware's News Radio 1410, WDOV. Today's program is the Travel Songs Project, and today we have the executive producer, Zachary Hominick, who just got back from Peru. We're not going to go into food because Peru is well known for ceviche and the like, so I'm going to spare you from that. To concentrate the conversation, Zachary, in the Travel Songs Project and the ideas behind and how your generation embraces differently these concepts of arts advocacy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you expect to accomplish? What are the things that the Travel Songs Project intends to accomplish once you are back from this full-fledged visit to Peru?
Well, we have long-term goals and we have short-term goals. And of course, our long-term goals are a bit more lofty. You know, of course, we want to be able to show people of the world that though we are different, our differences should be celebrated and our diversity should stand as something that's beautiful, that makes this world interesting, and not something that we should fight over or dislike each other because of. So that's mm-hmm. the overall long-term goal of what this project is. Short-term, we want to educate. We want to entertain. We want to have fun. We want to learn. Mm-hmm. We want to document. We want to preserve. You know, one of the interesting things that I've seen while I was there and now while I'm reviewing the footage is that there's this idea of endangered music and endangered culture. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this as the technological void is becoming larger in our society, and it's becoming exponentially larger. And many traditional societies are attempting to adapt to this modern lifestyle of iPhones mm-hmm. and urban living and this type of thing. We're starting to see some of these traditional lifestyle peoples kind of move towards that modern lifestyle. And while, you know, everybody has to eat and maybe that's beneficial for them at that time, or maybe it's not, you know, that could be discussed in length. But mm-hmm. the bottom line is that I do feel that in maybe 50 years, some of these cultures that we're able to go videotape and go speak with and go learn about may not be there in 50 years, or may not be doing things exactly how they're doing in 50 years. Mm-hmm. And one of those things that they may not be doing is their music. So it's really been interesting to me, this idea of preservation throughout this project, because mm-hmm. not only are we able to say to people in America, hey, you know, check out Peru. It's very beautiful. It's cool. The music's great. Look at this, you know, beautiful footage we have. But there's also something bigger, which is we're creating a catalog of history, and we're creating it in the time right before it's about to change mm-hmm. and perhaps mm-hmm. not exist any longer.
That's a good point, a different perspective of globalization. It brings many different positive things, but by the same token, it might endanger some kind of locality, if you will.
Absolutely.
I hope you're mistaken in the sense that these kind of traditions are preserved while you are filming those. And maybe by bringing that into perspective for the rest of the population, they might find that tradition should be preserved because it's the soul of, in this case, Peru as a nation. But probably the same thing happens and applies for some other nations as well.
Absolutely. I do think so. And I think that when we met with the people that I'm speaking of specifically, the people that lived in the Peruvian highlands, mm-hmm. and I was watching them as they were playing and as they started to tell me about how their lifestyle mm-hmm. used to just be living in the mountains and being subsistent, mm-hmm. and now it's more they make a trip to Cusco every month to get supplies, and then mm-hmm. maybe they make a trip every 2 weeks. And I'm watching this in their story that they're telling me. I'm hearing how this is happening, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, hopefully from what we're able to capture, we're able to show mm-hmm. to other people. And I can also see just the base, the essence of what the Peruvian music was based around mm-hmm. what they were playing. Mm-hmm. So I can see them as, you know, not originators, but they definitely, a lot of the music that's played there branched out from the type of things that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's really the most, you know, the most basic essence of what the music in that country had become. And it would be a shame to see it just go away. But I think it's interesting that we were able to capture it and hopefully preserve it, as I said.
And I agree. And thinking about what you were saying, being in Cusco, I'm hoping that you can even go back in time, in the sense that the music of Peru, for instance, nowadays reflects the combination of the Inca Empire that had a stronghold, by the way, in Cusco, but also by the same token, the Spanish heritage that is also combined in that nationality. So it's an important project because it does preserve, in a way, it becomes a musical documentary. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah. It's this concept of mestizo, kind of the mixing of cultures. And,
right.
You know, it really results in an identity crisis of sorts sometimes because you have people that are taking pride in their original culture.
Indeed.
And also trying to adapt to a new culture to be able to survive in the modern world.
For some individuals, talking about that, I believe that probably you encounter that, but for some individuals, the discovery of America is a moment of sorrow instead of a moment of happiness.
Absolutely.
But in any case, what did you learn? If there's something that stands out for you at this point, remembering your travel to Peru from a Travel Songs Project perspective, what is the thing that makes you or moves you more than anything else?
Well, I guess, you know, I've talked about this idea of the move from traditional to modern a lot. And that was the main thing that stuck out to me. Almost every group of people that we met with mm-hmm. were very eager to move forward into the modern lifestyle. We met with a musical instrument maker, luthier. And he had been taught by his father, who was taught by his grandfather. Mm-hmm. And he's in his shop, and he's a master of his trade. But then at the end of our time with him, he says, you know, but my children are, you know, they're more interested in going to university and becoming civil engineers and moving to the capital. And mm-hmm. they don't have an interest in this. And the one thing he said that really struck me is he said, what makes me sad is that when I die, the knowledge that I have will die with me. So mm-hmm. I, you know, all this stuff that I've learned that's becoming from three generations prior, mm-hmm. it's just going to disappear because now we're moving into this modern world. And I think that's the thing that struck me the most is mm-hmm. the move from traditional lifestyle into modern lifestyle mm-hmm. and how it affects music, how it affects culture, how it affects society mm-hmm. and individuals.
Now, how do you translate that knowledge into songs? Because at the end of the day, you guys produce songs. You
Absolutely.
Create something and maybe on the spot. Mm-hmm. So how that hits home? Tell mm-hmm. me about the musical aspect of the Travel Songs Project.
The musical aspect is pretty interesting because what we have is a group of, you know, 4 to 6 musicians that are traveling with my crew mm-hmm. who, as soon as we go to these locations to set up, while my producers are getting the cameras ready and checking for lighting, the people that are with me that are the musicians are going in and playing the musical instruments. And it's helping us to kind of ease our way into all these situations. Because one thing that I've found is that, you know, if you go to some place, I found this when I was in Tunisia, if you go to some place and you're going to set up an interview mm-hmm. and the basis for the interview is just the interview, then maybe the connection isn't as tight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But when we walk into a place, for instance, the musician or the musical instrument maker's shop, a luthier, and we're picking up instruments and playing them and saying mm-hmm. like, oh, is this a C? Like, is this how you play? Like just asking different things. He's saying, oh, there's a common interest here. We have a common ground. This is interesting. Now we can begin our conversation on a different, you know, we can open up the door to that next level of connection. And mm-hmm. I think that's where the music comes into it, is that by once again touching on it being a mm-hmm. universal language mm-hmm. of us proving to people that we meet, hey, you know, we know what we're doing. We play music too. You know, check out what we do. It's almost
so
like an equal exchange.
That becomes a common ground.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as much as we learn from people and as uh-huh. much as we document, we also find ourselves in situations where they're taping us on their phones and we're playing
so
our songs
like,
for them.
There you go. Before I forget, I'm sure people might be interested in your project.
Absolutely.
And, people might want to get in contact with you.
I hope so.
Why don't you share your contact information then?
Please, yes. It's you can find us at travelsongs.org. And that's our website where we host a lot of our video and audio stuff and photos from the trip and more information on performances locally. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at mail@travelsongs.org. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, the whole social media thing. But the website's the best
way. Very millennial, I have to say, and I love it. A very millennial project that I'm sure is just taking just flying, which is a fantastic thing. And I'm really happy for you guys. Now, before we finish, let's go. Why don't you talk about projects and things? Where is Travel Songs Project moving on?
Okay. Well, of course, we play locally as a group. So we, we just finished an album, a studio album called Casa, and we're releasing that on October 4th. So that will be out and available to the public on iTunes and that type of thing. So that's from the band aspect of it, from the traveling to different locations aspect of it, and, you know, exploring the music of other cultures. We are in the process of editing all of our stuff from Peru, and we are going to look into going to another location once we have that complete.
Right, so we're looking at editing always takes forever. Oh, yeah. It's not just being there and taping. It's the editing
that takes a long time.
Yeah. And it was a massive project.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was more than 2 weeks. And you taped, like, how many hours did you tape?
We probably taped about 100 hours. We had three different cameras running the whole time and audio equipment. So we have a lot of, you know, syncing and aligning to do. And it's a labor of love, really. It is fun to go back and look at that footage, remember us being there. But at the same time, it's time consuming. And, you know, it does take a toll on your eyes. Scares staring at a screen that long.
So you have to keep us posted on progresses. And I'm sure the next trip, you have to go back and share again.
Oh, yeah.
For the meantime, let me congratulate you and your team in such a fantastic project.
Thank you.
We're just running out of time here, and time is goes fast when you're having fun, people say. And that is actually the case. Thank you.
No, thank you very much.